Proper Sport at 6. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along. It's the FL 72, that time of the week where we discuss all things Football League in the company of the editor of the 72.co.uk, Mr. Tom Carnduff. On tonight's show, we'll be discussing, looking ahead to a busy night of action across the Football League. We'll be crossing over to Valley Parade later for the visit of Scunthorpe United to Bradford. There's a whole host of games in the Championship as well, where Chris Coleman, the new Sunderland manager, takes his new side to Aston Villa. We'll talk Leeds United, who are in action tomorrow night live on Radio Yorkshire. They go to top of the table Wolves, looking to back up Sunday's win of Middlesbrough. We'll talk Sheffield Wednesday and the Blades, as well as of course the rest of the news from across the Football League, where Tom is very excited about Crawley Town Watch. All that and more on the FL 72. Tom, good evening.
Hello.
All right, I missed you last week.
It's been a while since... It's been 2 weeks, isn't it? Because the week before it was me and Mark.
Yeah, wasn't it? Mark's
been like the sub, the youth team promotion. That gets a few games while it on injury cover.
Yeah, but funny that you're calling Mark the youth team.
Yeah, well, that's true. Maybe not the best way to go about it. But yeah, it's been a couple of weeks. It's been a couple of weeks, hasn't it?
It has been a couple of weeks. In those couple of weeks, there were lots of fears maybe over the future of Thomas Christiansen. We'll start off with Yorkshire News and Leeds United, as we do most weeks on the show. As Sunday's win over Middlesbrough, has that eased all of that for you?
Yeah, and it's not just the win, it's the fact that they were quite good as well. Leeds played well on Sunday. They were playing like we saw at the start of the season. Alioski, Saez, Hernandez, Fred Roof in there at front as well. That forward quartet were very, very good. It worked perfectly for Leeds. It worked. It's exactly what they needed in front of their TV cameras. Big crowd. Return of Gary Monk, of course, as well. They were all saying, you know, it's not really something we're focused on. We're not that bothered. But, you know, there must have been a little bit that wanted to get one over on Gary Monk. And it all worked out well in the end. And now, after seemingly being rubbish forever, Leeds are now seventh, joint on points with Middlesbrough in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Bit of a weird one.
It's a funny old division. The Championship turns around very, very quickly. So, as you said, Leeds are back to seventh. As well, as you said there, it seemingly looked in the groove as well. The likes of Alioski, you mentioned Roof, got his chance again up front. Something we said actually on the show last week was Roof. A few people agreeing on Facebook as well. Time now for him to get an actual run of games up front. He seems to be in, out.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, if we can get him in now, five games up until Christmas, a good run in the side, do you think you can see even more from Roof?
Yeah, he's got to start tomorrow, I think. Even if Lasoga's fit, you've got to play him because he was brilliant. He was really, really good on Sunday. You've got to look, you know, just the play and the build-up to the Alioski goal. Beating 2-3 Middlesbrough players, then play the ball out wide to Hernandez, and it's exactly what you wanted. I think it kind of made Leeds have to play the ball a bit because Roof's not your big forward target man type striker like Lasoga. It made Leeds play, and it worked out very well. But like you said, he got his chance, and he really took it. He's looked good when he's come in this season, Roof. Clearly better off up front as a striker. That seems to be now his position, probably a position he wants to play. We'll have to wait and see how he does against Wolves. If he has another good game, then I think it should be a case of Lasoga's going to be the one that tries to have to force himself back in because, you know, consecutive good performances. Roof's got to be in with a shout of being the starting striker then.
I agree. Yeah, has looked much better this season when he has been given his opportunity, Kemar Roof. So hopefully that can continue tomorrow night against Wolves. Any other positives for you from that game in particular that stood out?
it's just the character, really, of the team. That after such a bad run, and it's not like it's been a bad run where at least they've picked up a point there, and you know, now and again they beat Bristol City, and that was it. It was lose, 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 full of red L's on the form chart. It wasn't great, but when they had to come up with a performance, they did, and it's just unfortunate for Leeds that Middlesbrough was really set up to be the, you know, they're out, Leeds are out of form, they're coming into a game against Middlesbrough, and I've spoke about all the implications for it, they're in form, it's going to be tough. It's just unfortunate that, you know, the fixture kind of chart has given them top of the league Wolves away as the next game, because you're looking at that as maybe a catalyst to kick on, to really get out of that run of form. But we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, just the character, the performance, and most importantly, the result as well. Obviously, the mosaic said together. I felt a bit of togetherness about the squad. And you saw it all smiles at training today on social media. It all seems to be a lot more positive now. And it's going to be a tough one, but if they can get something, if they can get a point at Molineux, then you imagine confidence is going to be back. And I think that's probably what they were missing more than anything.
Definitely possible tomorrow night. I know Wolves are in a very good vein of form, winning again at the weekend. Yeah. But seeing the highlights from that game, Reading had their chances. They rattled Wolves a bit for part of the game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting one, because if Leeds come out the blocks in the first 10 minutes, maybe if Leeds grab an early goal, I'd be intrigued to see how Wolves react to it. The expectations now there at Wolves. They're a bit like Leeds with a fan base. I think there's the expectation, and there's always that kind of demands that they do well. So I'd be intrigued to see what happens if Leeds go out and nick an early goal and start on the front foot, how they'd react to that. And I think if Leeds are going to get anything, that might be the way to do it. But yeah, they have slipped up this season, Wolves. They're not untouchable. They're not invincible. That said, though, it is going to be difficult. You imagine it. Leeds are... you're not backing them to get much from there. However, I think they've got to go and take it to Wolves. They can't let Wolves play in front of what's going to be a pretty full, pretty expectant Molineux. If you put them on the back foot, maybe they'll have to come out and kind of be in a situation they've not been in before, because you imagine they're going to be expecting to dominate, dictate all their games at home, and if it's not like that, then we'll have to see how they react.
Interesting in the... I saw someone post a picture, and there's been a couple of symmetrical things about Leeds' season so far, and in exactly the same position after 17
games.
Yeah,
saw that. Just the goal difference is just a tad bit better, isn't
six,
it?
Six, yeah, in the goal difference, but other than that, identical.
It's just weird that it seems Leeds have just been unable to win in absolutely forever. They got the Bristol City result, but the run of form just seems to be just absolutely atrocious, and yet they are still seventh. It's remarkable, and you're thinking, what if they got a win or two in that? Then obviously they'd be probably top two. But yeah, it's a weird one. It is a weird one, and now obviously same as last season. However, the picture's a bit different, where Leeds started badly and picked it up. Leeds started brilliantly and have dropped off. So we'll have to wait and see, but Wolves is a real test, and if they can get anything from there, if they come back with a point, you imagine the confidence and the belief is going to be there going into Barnsley to Oakwell, where typically Leeds haven't had the best results over the last few years.
Interesting as well, looking at the table from the weekend, because the fear for me was that with Leeds playing Sunday, by the time it rolled around, that a couple of teams might have won who are in and around Leeds, and they might be in the bottom half of the table. They weren't come kickoff time. But unbelievable, actually, when you look at the results from Saturday, that there were so many draws.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable that only one team below Leeds, who now sits seventh, won a game at the weekend. That was Birmingham in 21st place. Everybody else lost or drew.
It's remarkable. It goes back to that point. It's a really weird league this year. Back to the point of Leeds seem to have lost. How many have Leeds lost? And yet they're still seventh. It's remarkable. I don't know what that says about the Championship. I don't know what it says about Leeds. I don't know what it says about their start. But it does seem quite remarkable when you put it like that. It's annoying in a way that Leeds conceded, not just the way they did, because the whole, you know, complaints about the penalty, Luke Ayling shouldn't have done it, what he did, but he was fouled first. So it's like, it's
strange reaction, though. You rarely see that from a player that he's fouled and then he grabs the guy.
It's weird,
in the box.
But then Ayala was being a bit of a kind of an inconvenience, to put it. Remarkable that he's got away with punching Berardi. Remarkable that he's getting away with that. How they've asked for an investigation. Not saying it's fine. Not saying they shouldn't be throwing flags. But lightweight plastic sticks being poorly thrown onto the pitch, I can point out, didn't really make the pitch. Not saying it's fine, but they're investigating that and they're not looking at what was caught on camera as a player punching another player and getting away with it. It's remarkable. But yeah, a weird reaction from Ayling. But again, at the same time, it's like how if the linesman has seen that, he's clearly watching the play and what's going on. He can't have just turned at that point and gone, oh, what's going on here? He must have clearly seen the foul before, but an interesting reaction. But then if Leeds didn't concede that goal and they won 2-0, they'd be in the playoffs. They'd be above Middlesbrough on goal difference. It's just weird. It is very weird. And again, I just don't know what that says about Leeds, their start, the championship, whatever. But, you know, other seasons they might not have been so lucky with where they are. So it's a bit might be a bit of a blessing if they can kick on now and get back up towards the top two where they were before.
Leeds seventh at the moment, ahead of tonight's fixtures, and there's lots of them in the Championship. We'll get to your comments on Facebook very shortly. Let's run through the Championship tonight. Aston Villa play Sunderland, Chris Coleman going there. Barnsley, they're at home to Cardiff. Burton go to Brentford. Bristol City host Preston, who are in a dire run still themselves. Derby host QPR. Hull City, who again struggling, they go to Millwall. That's an important game down that bottom end of the division. Norwich are at Forest. Sheffield United host Fulham. The Blades still going well. And Bolton, who are improving against Reading, who, as I said, were unlucky for me against Wolves at the weekend. Aaron's been in touch on Facebook, as have lots of you. We are there live there right now. You can go and watch the show as well as hear it, of course, on DAB or online through the website and the Radio Yorkshire app as well. But Aaron says, brilliant performance Sunday, more like the Leeds we know. Losing this one would have put us 6 points behind the playoffs and possibly season over. Another big win against Wolves, we can start thinking about the top two again rather than scraping into the playoffs. Are you getting carried away there, Aaron, thinking about top two again? Or is anything possible?
I think anything is, but again, it shows the bad run of form and they're still seventh. Results, you don't know. Results could go Leeds' way tonight. Aston Villa, for example, play Sunderland, new manager in charge. Haven't been able to win basically whatsoever this season. Not saying that they'll go and win, but they might be able to make Villa drop points. And again, then you're going, well, again, if Leeds can pick up a point, they're just slowly starting to close that gap again. And it is a case of one game at the moment and the swing is on a bit.
A lot of injuries at Villa as well. Quite a few players out. Steve Bruce was mourning as usual ahead of that game at the weekend. They beat QPR in the end, but they do have their problems, Villa.
Yeah, and it's that we spoke about it. Every team has a blip. Could that have been Leeds's? Okay, if they go and lose tomorrow, then I don't think we can't really go back to going, oh, they're in a terrible run of form, because really, the way Wolves are going and the squad they got, we're expecting Leeds to go to the Molyneux and probably not pick up anything. That's not because Leeds are bad. It's just because if you go into Wolves, who I think at this point will want to win the title now and kick on, they're going to make sure they win all their home games as a minimum. So it's, you can't really look at it after and go, oh, well, it's terrible. But every team has a blip. And it's, you're wondering now if Leeds, you're looking more at Barnsley, if Leeds go and win at Oakwell and then start to run a bit of form together, is that their blip then? Is that their season blip done? Because every team has, and maybe it was a bit longer than they would have liked. But really, is it a case of they can have a bit of a free run now? Drop points every now and again, lose games obviously every now and again, but have a bit of a second half of the season that they experienced last year before the eventual drop off. But it's intriguing. It's intriguing. You just feel that Leeds can kick on now and get going, and the Middlesbrough game can be the catalyst for them to push back up. And it's a tight division, two wins and they could be right knocking on the door a second, or three wins, whatever, however it works. And I just can't say you can write anyone off really for top two at the moment, given how tight it is at the top.
You can hear that game against Wolves live here on Radio Yorkshire from 6 tomorrow night. Wolves have the third best home record in the division. Only one defeat so far. They've won their last four home games, beating Fulham, Preston, Villa and Barnsley in that little run. Ronald's been in touch on Facebook. Keep your comments in on Facebook. We'll get to them throughout the show, even if we do delve off into other topics. Just watched a Middlesbrough fan chat site. The one who at the game slated the ground, the team, and said our fans were ugly.
Yes.
He's now upset. Leeds fans gave him a right mouthful on the site. What do you think to Middlesbrough at the weekend? In particular, Gary Monk and his reaction to defeat.
They weren't great. To say they're a team in form, and if you had no idea about the league and you went, right, one of these teams is out of form, one of these teams is in form, which one is it? You're going to be looking at the team in white as the team in form and the visitors are the out of form team. They were not great. They weren't great. And it was weird to see. I'm not sure if that was them playing badly, but they've got the quality in, so I think it was more of a case of Leeds probably gave them a hard time and made them play badly. The thing that struck me about Gary Monk was he stood the entire time. His team were getting outplayed at times, 2-0 down, and his hands were in his pocket. And all the only vocalness he seemed to give was when he was given an earful to the fourth official about one decision or another. Whereas on the other side, you've got Thomas Christiansen really animated, clapping, really, you know, trying to encourage his team to kick on, even at 2-0. When they scored, instantly he's celebrating, then going, right, we go, you know, we're going again now. And they nearly did when Saez hit the post. It could have been 3-0. But he just didn't seem... It kind of like he just put his team out there and let it happen. It's almost like he didn't really know what to do. It just struck me a bit that even minimal instructions, whatever, but to stand for most of the game with your hands in the pocket in your technical area, just struck me a bit as kind of it summed up his side's performance, because they just couldn't get going. They really struggled, and it just seemed to be a manager at the sideline who didn't really know how to deal with it either. Again, we kind of saw that with Leeds last year, but yeah, it was a bit of a surprise, to be honest.
Yeah, it was interesting. The post-match was interesting when he talked about Leeds. It almost looked like his bottom lip was about to go.
He in the press conference on Sunday, he was... I'm glad, in a way, that people have seen a lot of our side in terms of he was unnecessarily he was unnecessarily off about Leeds questions, and to journalists that he worked with a lot at Leeds last year, who probably fought his corner, to be fair, when it came to the fallout, and he was just unnecessarily kind of arrogant with them. It was weird. Would have been interesting to see if they'd won. I'm sure he wouldn't be, but yeah. Again, it just seemed to be someone who didn't really know what to do, who would just hope they turned up, the quality would get them through. And again, like we saw at Leeds, when it went wrong, he didn't know how to react. And again, like I said, it's reflecting what we've seen at Leeds last year with Middlesbrough at the moment. Interesting to see how they bounce back from it, but I know he kept saying, I don't want to talk about Leeds. I've said my side, they've said theirs, what's happened's happened, but you can't seriously think he wouldn't want to have come to Elland Road and get one over and win. So he'd be disappointed. So we'll have to see how they bounce back, equally like we have to see how Leeds will kick on against Wolves.
Let's get some more of your comments on Facebook, where you can watch the show live tonight. Dennis, he's been in touch. The Spirit is back, as we are. MOT from North Cyprus this evening. Evening to you, Dennis, in a bit of winter sun, maybe. Not sure if he lives out there
nice.
Or not, but yeah, very, very nice.
Very nice.
Philip says, Lasaga on the bench instead of Grott. Grott to the under-23s or on loan somewhere.
Yeah. I think if Lasaga's going to come back and Reef's in good form, with Ekuban there as well, Grott's done nothing when he's come on. And I don't know whether they're not playing. I think he likes the ball at his feet and just running at people, but I think they're trying to play him in the similar mould to Lasaga. But I think a run in the under-23s, maybe a loan spell away in January, maybe potentially like we've seen with Marcus Antonsen, who's been very good or been decent at Blackburn, might get his confidence going to come back, because he is one for the future, but I'm not sure if he's one for now. And I think with Ekuban coming back, he's going to want to take his chance if it's presented to him. So, yeah, I think based on if Roof can get a good run of games going, you'd probably back Lasoga to take Grott's place on the bench.
Ekiban, the new Yeboah.
Ah, oh, fingers crossed. I did like that, where his, it's on Radio Yorkshire website, YouTube page, where he talks about that and his dad asking him, you know, just go watch Yeboah and be like him. Well, evidently, you know, you see those goals, just do them all the time, they'll love you. But yeah, he seems to be quite a bubbly character. He kind of reflects that, I think. You know, we saw that with Calvin Phillips at the press conference last week. He seems to be quite a happy person, and that was obviously a laugh and a joke about that. But he's been unlucky this season, coming over to England, playing for Leeds, getting the injury so early on. So he looked good before that, and he looked good on Sunday when he came on. It's just kind of the time he came on. He was getting ready to come on, and then Leeds gave away the penalty. They still brought him on for Roof, but at that point the game's changed. Middlesbrough are attacking more, pushing for an equaliser, but then Leeds did have their chances. But he looks good. He does look good. I think he's just been unlucky with injuries, and we'll have to see how he kicks on before Christmas. You imagine he'll probably go back to that bench striker role. It's just if he can take the opportunities presented to him when he comes off the bench, and if, you know, unlike Grott, if he can be an actual game changer, if Christiansen can look to him and say, right, we need a goal, he can trust Ekiban to come on and take it. Well, we'll have to wait and see, but I don't think we've seen enough of him yet to really have an opinion. But what we have seen has been quite positive.
A few more on Facebook. Steve says, would you stick with the same team and formation against Wolves? Think it's going to be tough going there and getting 3 points. Hope we can get 4 points out of the next two games. We'll be ecstatic on the same team, same formation.
Yeah.
Has to be, surely.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's done anything to be dropped from that. Sunday's exactly what they wanted. Not just the result, but the performance, the style of football. They should have had more goals. Nearly did. Saez was fantastic, but his partnership with Alioski and Hernandez, that's what we want. That's what, as a Leeds fan, as, you know, whatever, what Christiansen wants. They link together so well, and Wolves are a good team. And I think Leeds will prefer that, to play a football inside. So I think after a win like that, you can't change too much. I just think they might have to be a bit more physical. I know they were physical on Sunday, especially Janssen. It was the Pontus Janssen that we'd known before. I think they might need to step that up just to kind of put their assertion on the game a bit, but can't imagine they've got to change much really based on Sunday's performance. That was good enough for them, and you imagine it probably the way they'll go in the West Midlands tomorrow.
Dilip says, right, just focus on each game as they come in a good position, but still confidence is at a level. Maka, great to see Roof taking plays. He's got to start against Wolves. Wolves going to be a tough one, but we're playing well against the so-called good teams. Do you go along with that? Playing well against the good teams, Leeds?
It depends. Leeds seems to play better against the footballing sides, if you know what I mean. Like Cardiff and Millwall and that, they struggle because they're your typical Neil Warnock physical type sides, and they struggle against that. But I think they came at the wrong time as well. There was still a time where players were getting used to this league. Whereas I think teams like Middlesbrough, maybe Wolves, Bristol City, when they went there, I think they prefer playing against those teams where they'll be allowed to play football a bit. You know, you're not going to have some big lad who's just going to come in and absolutely crunch you. But I think the Borough game was kind of set up for Leeds. And for Wolves tomorrow, I think going there, pressure's not on them. They might enjoy it. They might prefer that. Like Bristol City, where not much was expected, and they put in a fantastic performance to get a fantastic result. So we'll have to wait and see. But confidence is going to be a lot higher now they won, because you were intrigued to see what happened on Sunday had they lost to Middlesbrough, especially with Christiansen and his future.
We'll get some more comments from Facebook very, very shortly. Let's talk about some of the other results from the weekend. One of the teams got an opportunity to really put some distance between them and Leeds, or a little bit anyway, was Sheffield Wednesday, but 0-0 draw against Bristol City, who, of course,
yes,
in fourth place in the division. So on paper, I mean, a decent point. You want to win your home games, particularly, of course. And old Carlos having a bit of a moan still, but quite rightly, to be fair. A couple of nailed-on penalties.
Yeah, but it's tedious. It's always, every game, when they don't win, it's the referee's fault. That's the Carlos Carvalhal way. of media press conference interviews. It seems to be whenever they can't win, it's always, but if we had this refereeing decision, if the ref, why is Barry Bannon not getting a penalty? Why is this? Why is that? And especially when they're in that bad run, you start to notice it and you go in, you need to take some responsibility for results, because that's just how football is. Sometimes you're going to get decisions, sometimes you're not. And you can't just solely put that down to why you sat in mid-table and not in the playoffs as expected, and why you're in a poor run of form earlier. Just, the problem is when he's used it so much, it just gets a bit tedious.
Yeah, he's the boy that cried wolf when it comes to refereeing decisions.
When he used it so much, especially on the bad run, now it gets to it and you're going, he's blaming the officials again, he's blaming the referees again, and now nobody's that interested.
Yeah, not really cares, but yeah, they should have had both penalties, to be fair.
That's football.
But
that's
there we
football.
Go. Never mind, Carlos. They sit 10th at the moment, Sheffield Wednesday. You're saying they play tomorrow, by the way. They go to Ipswich.
Yes.
That's 9th versus 10th in the table. So an important game, really, for either side's season as they look to close the gap on those playoff places. Ipswich just a point away from Derby, Leeds and Middlesbrough on 26, Sheffield Wednesday 2 points back. You put it, still unhappiness with Carlos. Do you think that amongst the Wednesday faithful, that they're still maybe itching for something new?
I think so. They are still 10th and they've got to go to an Ipswich, or play an Ipswich side, where typically Wednesday struggle against Ipswich. It's a team that I know they beat them at Portman Road last year, but then at Hillsborough, Ipswich beat them, and in the years before, they have struggled to get 3 points against them. So we'll have to wait and see, but you imagine with how they were last year, how they were the year before, how the quality they've got within the team, the money they've spent, I don't think that the whole Carlos out brigade is going to go away after a few wins. I think it is that they do want a new face in, a bit of a refresher to see how it goes. But again, if they don't win tomorrow, you never know with results. Nottingham Forest play Norwich, so one of them or both of them are going to go up above Sheffield Wednesday based on points. Brentford take on Burton, so that could be another one. So there could be a real possibility where they sat, 13th, 14th odd tomorrow if they lose, and then it starts to creep back in. But I don't think it'll go away based on a couple of good wins, because they're still not really where they want to be or where they should be given the quality they got within the squad.
True, but we'll see how results go in the next couple of games for Sheffield Wednesday. Sheffield United, on the other hand, no stopping them. Still not drawn a game all season. 12 wins, 5 defeats. They go to Burton and win that game at the weekend comfortably in the end, 3-1 for Sheffield United. And things just keep getting better. And so no signs of slowing down. They're in action tonight. They host Fulham.
Again, I predicted them to finish about higher mid-table to give them a platform to kick on. And again, we said that wouldn't be a bad finish. It would establish themselves and go for promotion the season after. But why wait around? They seem to have got the quality to do it now. Leon Clark, what a remarkable season he's having so far. He's scoring 4 goals in one game the other week, scoring again. Just keeps finding the net. What a striker he's become under Chris Wilder in the Championship. That's good to see. Of course, the downer on that win on Paul Friday was Coots' injury. Big loss for him. But again, you trust Chris Wilder to be able to bring someone in and bring out the best in them. But again, it is a big loss because he has been such an influential player.
And not only Clark, but Billy Sharp as well. Who would have thought he'd score so many goals coming back into the Championship? I think at the start of the season, we were kind of thinking, he might get
five or ten
goals over the course of the season, maybe struggle a little bit, but the guy's on fire.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I mean, you wouldn't believe if we came into the division and said probably who's the most prolific pair of strikers in the league, Leon Clark and Billy Sharp. Probably not, but again, Leon Clark, 9 goals scored this season. It's just the transformation that he's gone under Chris Wilder, from journeyman to prolific striker at the top-end Championship club. pushing, knocking on the door for Premier League, because at the rate he's going, if he gets 20-plus goals and Sheffield United to go up, surely he's got to be up front for them in the Premier League. I know we're looking ahead a bit, but what a turnaround that would be. But yeah, remarkable to say that they're probably the most prolific pair in the Championship. You wouldn't expect that at the start of the season.
And if they don't go up, then he'll be sold for probably about £25 million in the summer. So probably to Middlesbrough.
Just flog him to a low-end Premier League side and go, yeah, look at this. Look how good he is. He's fantastic. Take him. And even then, I think that would be more of a remarkable transformation than if he got them promoted. But yeah, what a season he's having and what a season Sheffield United are having so far.
Yeah, Fulham tonight for Sheffield United. Fulham side have not won in a bit either. Drew at the weekend against Derby, which is a decent result on paper, but before that, defeat to Wolves, defeat to Bristol City, a draw against Bolton, defeat against Aston Villa as well. So a real poor run of form for Fulham at the moment. Can Sheffield United capitalise on that elsewhere? For the Yorkshire sides, let's just touch on Barnsley, of course, Leeds opponents in the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday. Also live on Radio Yorkshire, a draw against Norwich, which is a decent point, and their decent run continues, Barnsley.
Yeah, Norwich, who did have a spell earlier on in the season where they started badly, picked up a bit, went up the table, and now they're just hanging around mid-table. So yeah, decent point. Again, it's the same for Barnsley. Where do they go? You only feel it's a matter of time before Paul Heckenbottom's poached by somebody. He has to be. We tout him all the time on this show, saying, yeah, why is he not linked to more jobs?
Yeah, he's unofficial agent.
Yes, yeah. Someone hire him. Someone
but we were saying last week, me and Mark, saying that obviously Sunderland was the big link this time. Last week, they were going to come in for him. You know, the money was on the table, £750,000 a year, which I imagine he's just a little bit more than he's on at
just
Barnsley.
Just a tad, yeah.
All of a sudden, Chris Coleman gets a sniff that there's a bit of money going around, so he chucks his hat in and gets the job eventually. But as you said, there's got to come a time now, maybe in the next few months, where someone does look at Paul Heckenbottom and thinks, yeah, he's our man.
I just don't think he's glamorous enough for clubs to take him. I just don't think low-end Premier League, top-end Championship, where would be naturally his next step. It's kind of like Chris Wilder. You can't see anyone trying to poach him from Sheffield United because he just doesn't seem glamorous enough, but he gets the job done. You've got to look at Barnsley. The players they've sold over the past couple of years, they've basically just had the squad ripped apart, and the quality of player that's come in not necessarily has reflected the quality of player that has left. And they're still 16th. They're still 7 points clear of relegation. It just shows what a good manager he is, and they're still above Fulham and Reading last year's playoff. Playoff semi-finalist, finalist. So I don't know what that says about the playoff teams last year. But, yeah, they're doing very, very well. And, again, going back to the Norwich game, to get a point is a decent pickup, because host Cardiff tonight, who don't seem to be dropping off like we expected them to. So be interested to see if they can get anything from that.
Cardiff with a decent away record well, so that's going to be a tough game tonight for Barnsley. And then, of course, Leeds at the weekend. They always seem to turn up for Yorkshire derbies as well.
Yeah, I don't know. They've got to be looking at it as a tough week, really. You know, Leeds, who could be in the playoffs by the time they come to play them. Cardiff side, who are still, I don't know how, knocking on the door of top two. So yeah, they'll probably be targeting the Leeds game as one to get more out of, but I'm sure any points this week would be welcome, because you imagine teams around them would probably struggle to get any in that week.
We'll talk about some of your Leeds United picks for tomorrow night's side against Wolves. Quite a few people getting in touch. Surprisingly, people are saying maybe a change here, change there. For me now, if Leeds can... It's got to be the same team now. As we were talking before about Roof having a run in the team. Same team for as long as you can. Next five games. Same team. Same defensive two. Cooper and Janssen. It's Roof up front. Give him a run of games in that position. Alioski as well. Try and build some partnerships.
Yeah.
That's what Leeds were so good at last year for me. The two centre-halves were a good partnership. All over the team, you know, you could look at it and say, well, that's our spine. Those two work well together. And this time for Leeds, they've had to make so many changes. I think now, just if you can get as consistent a team as possible, that's where this team's going to improve.
Now, that's how the confidence flourishes as well, doesn't it? The likes of Alioski, who has struggled, Aylin, who has struggled pre-international break. Interestingly, as the players went back into the tunnel at the end of the warm-up, I think it was Paul Butler, it was one of the coaches, basically grabbed Alioski and was, you know, giving him just a big hug, really talking to him as well. And you could see they were really trying to encourage him. So it was a case of, you know, they put their arms around him, literally if they put their arms around him, showing him a bit of love, whatever, then he could bring out the best player. Funny enough, scored, put in a good performance. But then you imagine that keeping him in the team then is going to build on that. Saez has been fantastic. If Hernandez, Saez and Alioski can create that trio and do that every game, it's going to be a nightmare for most defences. But yeah, they've got to find some consistency in the team selection. And last year, that was the key. It was pretty much the same, mostly the same 11 every week. And they need to try and find that this season. Like you said, build some partnerships, because that's how they're going to be effective, crucial, deadly going forward, and also quite solid at the back.
I didn't want to talk about Leeds then. I wanted to talk about Hull.
Fair enough.
We'll get on to Leeds in a second, Tom. Hull, they got beat again at the weekend. What was their last result, Hull?
Hull drew 2-2 with Ipswich.
Draw 2-2. I don't know what's happening here to my...
You're looking at it the wrong
I'm
way.
I'm looking at... Hold on. I'm looking at away records here. 2-2.
Yes.
Against Ipswich. The mighty Mick McCarthy.
Yes.
Back in Yorkshire for that one. Stopped the rot after three successive defeats. But can you see Hull going anywhere fast now? Millwall this evening, which is an interesting game for whoever wins that. Only a point separating the two sides. Millwall in 18th, Hull in 20th.
I think Hull are literally being saved by, as silly as it sounds, four worse teams than them, right? Sunderland are just terrible. They're a lost cause.
But are they going to improve, do you think, under Coleman? Surely he's got to get something out of them.
They can't get any worse, so they can only improve.
So Sunderland are going to improve?
I think they can only improve.
Well, exactly. So they're going to improve. So they're going to be back in the mix. There's only a 6-point swing between them and Hull, so that is achievable.
It depends.
Safety is achievable for Sunderland.
Apparently he wants to get a good couple of players in on loan in January, so I'll have to wait and see. But for me, I just think it goes deeper. The problems are deeper than any manager could sort out. They then got Bolton, who, fair enough, have had a bit of an upturn in form, but inevitably, when you've got restricted finances, you can only do so much. Burton, who I think this is going to be the season that they probably do go down. Birmingham, who just can't score. They just can't score any goals whatsoever. So that's saving them a bit. So I don't think Hull will go down, but you can't see him really getting any much higher than where they're going to be now when it comes to finishing end of the season. I just think it's going to be very low, mid-table, just above relegation. Maybe flirt with it a bit at one point, but I think they'll be all right. They could probably get a result against Millwall. It just depends. They seem to be able to score a lot. They also concede a lot. So we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, I fear for them a bit. Hull City, unfortunately. I think they may be one of the teams to go down. But we talked about the snapshot of the table. This time last year with Leeds in seventh, almost identical bar a bit of goal difference. The bottom three this time last year all went down as well.
Yeah, Hull are fine then. There we go, sorted.
Safety.
They're all right.
There we go. Leonard Slutsky, do you think he's going to last the distance there? It seems like he's got a tough job, but he has started talking about that a little bit more now, how it is very hard to get a team together with Hull, that team spirit we're talking about building at Leeds. He's now starting to talk about that a bit more.
I don't know what the expectation was at Hull, though, this year. Because they'd have to be kidding themselves if they said they were promotion contenders. No way. So, but did they say that internally? I'm not too sure. Was it just a case of keep us in the division and see what happens? We don't know who the owner could be this time next year. I'm not sure, but I don't know. I think he'll be all right. You imagine there are probably other jobs in the Championship that could be more at risk at the moment. We'll have to wait and see. I think he'll probably see out most of it. But then again, that's based on the fact that we don't really know what the expectation was. So, we'll have to watch the pitch on that. But he does seem like he's been a bit more open and talking about it more. And I think that might help them. If they've got a manager who's more open and honest about things, it might help them kind of transform their performances on the pitch.
Indeed, we'll talk some of your Leeds United team selections very shortly. Plenty coming in, but time to cross over to Valley Parade right now. The Bantams, what a win at the weekend, beating Wigan. Scunthorpe, the visitors tonight, and our man Derek Clark is over at Valley Parade. How are we doing, Derek?
Yeah, not bad, thanks, not bad. How are you doing in the warm studio there?
Oh, yeah, it's good. We've cranked up the heat, yeah? How's sunny Bradford?
Delightful.
Yeah, temperature?
Yeah, well, it's not too bad. It has been worse here. I was tinkering whether to put the long johns on, but I've been brave and just opted to leave them at home. So
shorts, T-shirt, you feel well going
on? No, don't be silly.
Bradford, so do we have teams
yeah,
are in?
Yeah, literally, I just went on there. I was just given the team sheet, so I'm just quickly running through it. It looks like Bradford could be, I think they're unchanged actually from the team that beat Wigan the weekend. They are unchanged, so I'll run through that. Colin Doyle, of course, in goals. A back four of McMahon, Kilgallen, Knight, Percival and Luke Hendry will play at left back. A midfield of Alex Gilliard, Romain Vincelot, Jake Reeves and Nicky Law, with Paul Taylor and Charlie Wake up top. On the bench for the Bantams this evening, Reuven Sattelmeyer, of course, the sub goalkeeper, and then it's Adam Thompson, Dominic Polion, Shane McCartan, Daniel Pybus, Omari Patrick and Terrell Robinson, of course, fresh from scoring the winner in injury time at the DW Stadium at the weekend.
Great win for Bradford at the weekend. Derek, do you think they can build on that? Great away record so far this season, but not replicating the home form of last.
No, you're right there. I mean, even their home form last season, I know they were unbeaten here last season, but a lot of those games were draws. They really should have picked up the 3 points. But yeah, their home form has been a bit patchy. They come up against a Scunthorpe side as well here, who won't make it easy for them. They're in a decent run of form themselves, so it's going to be a tough game for Bradford. I mean, the corresponding fixture last season in Boxing Day was a goalless draw, and of course Bradford were beaten 3-2 by Scunthorpe at their place last season as well, so expected to be a tight game. Of course, it's third against fourth as well, but Bradford will be hoping to put more pressure on the top two, especially Wigan in second place. 3 points behind them at the moment, so you want to go into the game here, away to Shrewsbury on Saturday, the league leaders, in a good run of form and possibly trying to clamber into the top two.
Do you think they can this season?
I think they're punching above their weight, that's for sure. I think the likes of Wigan, Scunthorpe and the likes of Shrewsbury have spent a vast amount more money than what Bradford have. Stuart McCall's had to basically dismantle his side from last season, no fault of his own, and make a new team up here. So he's brought a whole new group of players in, and they seem to have gelled quite quickly, so that's good. I think they'll make the playoffs. I think there's no doubt about it. They're good enough to make the playoffs. And I mean, that result on Saturday will give the Bantams belief that they can make the top two. I think they're good enough to do it. I know, let us say, Stuart McCall said before the Wigan game he felt that Wigan would go on and win the league. I think there wouldn't be too many people to argue with him on that, but they've showed they can go there and beat this sort of champions elect, so they should have no fears playing these teams.
Chris Lucchetti, from the Scunthorpe backroom staff, looks like he's off to Bury. And as well, with Bradford, you keep linking Stuart McCall with the Rangers job.
He's not going to get the Rangers job, I can tell you this right now. I think it's very, very doubtful he'll get the Rangers job. But I think this is a big season for him. I think if he takes Bradford up, I think he may stay on for the championship season. If they don't make it up this season, I think I can't see Stuart being here next season. If that's the case, I think they'll go their separate ways. So it's a massive season for Stuart McCall, but he's done a terrific job here. There's no doubt about it. I think his work down here goes a bit unnoticed back north of the border. And I mean, when I mention him as a possible Rangers manager, I get hounded with abuse from Rangers supporters saying he's not good enough and what have you. But I mean, they're quoting Derek McInnes for the Rangers job, and for me, Stuart McCall's done more in the game than what Derek McInnes has. That's for sure.
Tom's got down here tenuously linked Alex McLeish being a former Football League manager, saying that the new favourite for the job. Would you fancy Alex back?
As soon as Pedro Caixinha get sacked, I said immediately they'll get Alex McLeish in, safe bit of hands, been there and done it before. He's won things at Rangers against a good Celtic team as well, and it would cost nothing to get him in, so I'm staggered why they've not made a move now. I believe he's a favourite now for the job, but I don't understand why, if they're going to opt for him now, why they didn't go for him a few weeks ago and just get him in. But again, he's another one that Rangers supporters don't want back at the club. So you just can't win. They want a big name, obviously, but they need to. I think if it's, you're just going to have to pay money to get a guy out of job. I think McInnes will take. They've been quoted £800,000 to take him away from Aberdeen, and as a backroom staff as well. And I don't think that's money that Rangers can afford really. But Alex McLeish would be a safe pair of hands for me.
And just remind us again, Derek Bradford unchanged this evening for the visit of Scovey.
Yeah, unchanged from the team that beat Wigan. So I'll quickly run through it. Doyle, McMahon, Kilgallen, Knight, Percival and Hendry the back four, Gilead, Vincelot, Reeves and Law the midfield with Taylor and Wyke up top. I'll run through the Scunthorpe team as well, because of course Rory McArdle makes his return to Bradford as well. There's a piece in the programme for him as well. 5 years he's spent here, so he's expected to get a warm reception from the Bradford supporters. That is unless he scores the winner here. But they've line up Matt Jilkson goes, and they go with Jordan Clark, Murray Wallace, Funzi Ojo, Neil Bishop, Tom Hopper, Hakeeb Adelakun, Lee Novak, Dwayne Holmes, Cameron Burgess, and of course Captain Rory McArdle as well. So looking forward to this one. Let's say the games last season were very little to choose between the sides. There was a 5-goal thriller down at Scunthorpe Place as well that I've seen, so expect it to be a tight affair, and I think there'll be goals in this one, that's for sure.
Excellent, Derek, thank you very much.
Cheers, lads.
There we go. Derek Clark live from Valley Parade, Bradford in action this evening against Scunthorpe. Right, let's do this.
Obviously, the result 5-1 is disappointing. But again, they're from mistakes.
And Harry Kewell, the Crawley manager, has started with three defeats, so disappointment for him.
So Harry Kewell still awaits his first win as a manager. But Crawley have been well and truly put to the sword tonight.
Indeed, Crawley Town Watch is back. I was going to do 30-second call there, but I thought we might be just going too Scottish to back up Derek.
Need to break it down a bit. Just break it up.
So we'll have a breather and talk about Harry Kewell. Of course, Tom's favourite time of the week. And normally, I have no idea what's going on with Crawley, but of course, you can't avoid Harry Kewell trying to slap supporters.
Yeah, what a week. What a week for Crawley Town Watch. Yeah, it didn't go well at the weekend. They got hammered 4-0 away at Wickham. A bit of a kick-off at the end. And fans aren't happy on the old twitter.com. Hopefully that's the final nail in the coffin, says Jamie Thornton. Thank you, Harry, and goodbye, says Simon Smith. Kewell out. There's another one. Kewell out. There's another. He's been useless all season. Kewell went towards the fans. Is he looking for strikers? Kewell out, 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 and Kewell out from Tom, not me. Kewell out, there's another one, and just someone asking him to resign. So I think he's going quite well at Crawley at the moment. Interesting to see if they can get something tonight. I'm going to guess they can't.
Can't?
No, it's my prediction for them, because they're rubbish. So we'll have to wait and see, really. Host Exeter at home tonight, of course. Fashionable Paul Tisdale on the sideline in the opposite dugout. I predicted November for him to get sacked. So if there's a loss tonight, maybe. One guy was optimistic on Twitter and says, well, at least there's more local games than the National League. So it's all positive. All positive down at Crawley. Make the most of this feature. I'm worried we won't have much time with it anymore.
Okay, Exeter tonight for Crawley. Of course, fourth in the division, but did lose at the weekend, so you never know. Never know. Tom, well, we've got a bit of music. Why don't you introduce this week's 30-second coil. What's going on?
Last week he spoke about his inspirations in football, didn't he, if I remember rightly. His inspirations off the pitch. This week he spoke about Gary Cahill. selling Gary Cahill to Chelsea and the whole deal that surrounded it and how he could have got more money. But it's a great story, and it's from one of his footballing moments, shall we say.
Wrapped up into 30 seconds, one of the stories of the century.
I actually sold Gary Cahill to Chelsea from Bolton. We didn't want to, but he was out of contract in the summer, and we ended up accepting about £6 million for him. The year before, we'd actually agreed a deal with Manchester City, £17.5 million, plus Nedim Manula, who's come from Manchester City, Bolton. He was valued at £5 million at the time, so the deal was going to be worth about £22.5 million about 12, 18 months earlier. And then there was a fallout behind the scenes at Manchester City, and the transfer never went through.
Not doing too bad for time tonight.
Are we? Happy
days. Doing all right. Got a few adverts to play. So we'll do the old good days, bad days. Maybe
fair
talk
enough.
A bit of Leeds off the back of it as well. So it's up to you, Tom. Depending on how much you want to talk about some of the listeners' comments that have come in about Leeds' selections, you can either go really fast or really slow.
I'll do a mix. Right, so start off in the Championship as ever. Good for Leeds! Hey, they won! Ended that run of three consecutive defeats. Got one over Gary Monk as they beat Middlesbrough 2-1. Bad, this is the first time I've done it, given it to two teams.
Two?
Sunderland and Millwall. This is hilarious, right? Four goals, all down to goalkeeping errors, and they progressively get better to the fourth form where he just basically punches it in for no apparent reason. Go on Twitter, find it. It's just brilliant. It's fantastic.
Where would we find that, Tom?
You can find it on my Twitter, at TomC_22. It got lots of retweets, much to the annoyance of my notifications. League One, good for Shrewsbury. They just keep winning. 93rd minute winner over with 10 men. And they scored all 3 points in a 2-1 win over Rotherham. It is bad for Peterborough. They ended a run of 5 unbeaten in all competitions. A 1-0 defeat at home to Blackpool. They dropped back into mid-table. Good day in League 2 for Luton. Beat Cambridge 7-0. A couple of worldies in it as well. Back to their free scoring ways. It's not the first time they've put lots past an opponent. Bad for Crawley Town. They're just rubbish. So that's good days, bad days this week.
Oh, a double mention for Crawley on the show this evening. Great news. Let's quickly look at some of the final Leeds comments. Quickly from Philip, Pontus Janssen getting a booking shows he's back to his best.
Yeah, we agreed. We said interested that he wasn't getting as many bookings. He now has. So fair enough, maybe he's back to his usual self.
Jake says, think Leeds will come back with a point from Molyneux.
You take it. They're capable of doing it. Just if they got confidence.
Kyle Cook says Leeds look defensively sound on Sunday. Cooper and Janssen played well. Maybe all the talk about Kyle Bartley can now be forgotten.
Cooper looks a lot better this year, to be fair. But again, it's all about partnerships. Keep them together, let them build up that partnership, and hopefully it'll kick on.
Colin says Ekuban must play against Wolves.
Super sub for me. Super sub, hopefully. Maybe that's his role.
He also says 3-5-2. Philip says bring O'Kane in.
Can't change. Don't change a winning team and a good winning team at that. I reckon he'll stay the same for the trip to Wolves.
And finally, Dennis, who got in touch earlier from Cyprus. He's living there now. He's loving life.
Rubbing it in.
But missing going to the games. Yeah, at least you've got
it's
a bit of sun.
Rubbish
that's
weather
it for the FL 72 this week. We shall be back next week at 7 o'clock.